So this afternoon we are going to arrive and to work with the final heart practice where the heart and the mind essentially arise, co-arise into the experience of equanimity. And so all of the practices we've done, this is where one could say, I suppose, if you could say there was a goal of practice. The goal of practice is to establish an attitude and an experience of equanimity. And so all of the practices, the four foundations of mindfulness practice, end and take us into the experience of equanimity. Just like the four Brahma-Viharas, the heart practices also lead to the experience of equanimity. And equanimity also a word or a term that we're probably not familiar with. So there's that problem right out of the gate. Equanimity literally means there in the middleness. It's the Pali translation from the word upekkha. It means there in the middleness. And to some degree, this is speaking right to the experience that we're in, is that we're always in the middle. The middleness of life. We're always in the middle of the past and the future. What has just happened, what is about to happen. What has just happened, what is about to happen. And how do we hold that experience? So there in the middleness also implies, and to a big degree, what equanimity represents is the experience of balance, of being able to hold both. Being able to hold everything that has happened with some degree of ease. Being able to hold the uncertainty of what is going to happen with some degree of ease. And a perspective, a mindfulness or an awareness perspective of view where we acknowledge in a very real way that life is both beautiful, pleasurable, and it is also tragic and painful. It's both. There will be gain in life. There will be things that you will get. And there are things that you will acquire and things that you will gain. And there will be loss. There will be things that you will lose and things that will fall away and things that will end. There will be pleasure, joy, happiness. There will be unpleasant, sadness, difficulty. There'll be praise, there'll be a congratulation, a sense of being praised and uplifted. There'll be blame. That you're going to get all of it. You get all of it. There's no way out. And one of the things that's really helpful, and one of the things that I heard in some of the interviews today and checking in with some of you is this experience that we often get into of what I call black and white thinking, of it's either like this or it's like that. Either the meditation is pleasant or it's unpleasant. If it's pleasant, meditation is good. I'm a good meditator. I'm a good person. Look at me. I'm fucking great. Or the meditation is uncomfortable and bad, and meditation's bad, and I'm bad, and this retreat's bad, and everything's bad, and it sucks. And it's like this. Or it's like that. And every moment, to some degree, these are the conditions that we're struggling with. Yesterday was so good. I did a forgiveness yesterday. I felt my heart radiating. I was so good yesterday. I had it. I just was there. Someone said this to me. I was meditating. And you think to yourself, I'm totally meditating right now. I'm in the moment. Nobody here can meditate as good as me. In fact, Dave's going to ask me to teach the retreat with him next year. Or the opposite. I'm the worst one here. Everybody here is meditating but me. Everybody is in the moment. Everybody is having a pleasant experience. Everybody is radiating loving kindness inward and outward in all directions. Everybody completely understands all of the instructions, but not me. because I am just more fucked up than all these people. In fact, I'm the most fucked up person here. I shouldn't even be here. They should put me in a psych ward and give me medication and tie me up. I'm just screwed. It can't be either. It can't be one way or the other. It's impossible. It just can't. And so we see each moment defining our reality, each moment defining my reality in a very definitive, absolution kind of way. It's like this right now, which means it's always like this. In equanimity, in the experience of equanimity, we're sitting there in the middle of all of that, and it's rising and passing and rising, and sometimes there's forgiveness, and sometimes there's blaming. Sometimes there's pleasure, sometimes there's pain. Sometimes there's compassion, sometimes there's hatred. Sometimes there's acceptance, sometimes there's judgment. Sometimes everything. Right? And can we get into a perspective where we go, yep, this is pretty much how it is. And not clinging to any of it. No need to push it away because it will pass. And there's no reason to cling to it and to try to capture it because it will pass. And it will arise again, and it will pass again. There's a story in the early teachings where the Buddha is talking to Sariputta, who is one of his most renowned students. And he says to him in a Dharma talk, the Buddha says, whatever arises, ceases. And when Sariputta heard this, he immediately became fully liberated. I wish it were that easy. Whatever arises, ceases. Anything that is subject to arise, all conditions arise, all conditions pass away. All conditions. And, you know, how do we find a way to find ease and to relax into the reality of the situation? And so equanimity is a fairly radical stance that we take. And it's a perspective that we hold and that we value and that we try to incline ourselves towards. And it's the full, once all of the heart qualities are developed, when loving kindness and compassion and forgiveness and appreciation have been fully developed, then the heart arrives in the experience of equanimity. And the heart responds to whatever conditions are present appropriately. When there's pain and difficulty, the heart inclines towards compassion. It holds the pain and the difficulty with compassion until the pain does what it does, arises and ceases, and the pain ceases away and the compassion is no longer needed. And then the pleasant experiences come in and the gratitude, the appreciation arise to meet those conditions, and it's able to enjoy that which is enjoyable for as long as it's enjoyable. And that experience passes away and the appreciation passes away with it. It's no longer necessary. And the experience of metta, which is the foundation of all the heart practices, the attitude of benevolence or kindness towards all experience is present all of the time in equanimity. It's always there. It just knows to be there. And equanimity as a heart practice knows these things, but as a wisdom practice, it understands what is the appropriate response for whatever the conditions might be. It says, right now I'm in a lot of pain and I'm in a lot of suffering and I'm having a hard time and I'm having a bad day and I'm going to be kind and to be friendly and care about how hard this is for me right now. It's the culmination of the four foundations of mindfulness. It's the full culmination of the heart practices. It's the seventh factor. And the awakening factors, it's what arises into the experience of liberation. It's the 50-second mental factor in the Abhidharma. It's really in all the right places. And it shows up a lot in the various aspects of the Dharma. And so it's an experience that one can have. It's also a quality that one can cultivate. And it's, I don't really feel that, for me, a lot of teachers don't feel this way, but I don't feel that it's helpful to have a goal-oriented practice because there's too much striving and technique, and I think the modern mind is already troubled with that. But I think that if one would want to have a goal or an aspiration for Dharma practice, equanimity would be probably the proper and most realistic goal to have. And as we find ourselves, we're always finding ourselves in the middle of something. You know, every moment we're in the middle of what just happened and what just is about to happen. We're in the middle of yesterday and tomorrow. We're in the middle of the past and the future. We're in the middle of difficult emotional experience. We're in the middle of bodily pain. Or we're in the middle of pleasantry. We're always in the middle of some type of experience, some type of storm. Always, every moment, you're there in the middle of that. In the middle of your life. And so it's also an experience that could be had at any time. It's always available if we can incline towards it. And so there's many ways to practice with it. I actually find most of the instructions around equanimity to not be very helpful, so I have developed my own, which is what we'll work with today. But the central premise of equanimity is the understanding that my happiness and my freedom and my liberation is not dependent upon my wishes, it's dependent upon my actions. So when we look at what it is that we want or desire deeply, the wanting and the desiring might be the proper motivation to some degree, but it's not going to actually... Some people want to meditate, but don't. Some people want to have compassion for their pain, but they never sit down and actually try to generate any. So the practice of the Dharma, it's not an intellectual exercise. It's not something that you just choose to do. You don't just switch it on and say, okay, I'm going to be compassionate now. It doesn't work that way. So you might have all the best intentions to be loving and to be kind and to be forgiving and to be appreciative, but that alone is not going to actually encourage that quality or that experience to arise. You actually have to get right down into the ditch of life itself and start doing some digging and doing some cultivating and doing some actual work, which is one of the dangers of the modern world, is that, you know, there's probably 200 books a month that come out on Buddhism. And we read this book, we read that book, we read about this technique, we read about that technique, and we were just constantly filling our head with more ideas and concepts. And there's many people who study mindfulness and are interested in mindfulness. I'm like, well, have you ever sat down and, like, given it a shot? And so it's in the doing of it. And so you've been doing it all week. You've been doing. You've been sitting and inclining and working. And you've really been doing what I call the heavy lifting. The actual work, the labor, the doing of these experiences. And many of you, from talking to you, are starting to actually experience some of the outcome. Some of you have actually had a real embodied experience of forgiveness. And the idea of forgiveness and the experience of forgiveness, they are very, very different. The idea of appreciation, the idea of gratitude, is very, very different than the felt, embodied, emotional experience of actually having the appreciation and the gratitude. very different experiences. The idea of mindfulness, the idea of being present time awareness, the idea of being with yourself is very, very different than the actual experience of that. And of course, many of us and many people love all the ideas and the concepts, but don't want to do actually any of the work. And therefore, you'll get nothing out of it. Seeds that are not planted in fertile ground and not tended to will never bear fruit. And this is a very easy analogy to understand. If you take a bunch of mango seeds and toss them in a drawer somewhere and come back later, you're just going to have a bunch of mango seeds sitting in a drawer. If you take these seeds of awareness and of mindfulness and of compassion and of forgiveness and of equanimity and appreciation, and you plant them in fertile, rich ground, and you tend to them, and you be with them, and you cultivate them, and you stay with them, then they bear these delicious fruits of Dharma. And it's actually not till, it's like trying, I said this in a group earlier, but it's so true. It's like trying to tell somebody what maple syrup tastes like without actually tasting maple syrup. Right? It's like, what is maple syrup like? Well, it's sweet. It's quite delicious. It's kind of like honey, but not really. It's kind of like molasses, but not really. And you get frustrated. You're like, I really want to taste this maple syrup. And it's not until you taste the maple syrup that you know, oh, this is what maple syrup tastes like. It's the same thing with the practices that we're doing here. When you taste in your full felt experience in your nervous system what forgiveness tastes like, then you know. You're like, wow, this is what this is like. This is what awareness is like. This is what appreciation is like. And just like anything that we taste, you'll never forget it. You'll always remember, oh yeah, that was really pretty good. Not because somebody told you, not because you read it in a book, not because you agreed with it, but because you know in a truly embodied way. And that's what you take with you. That's what you can have. You can have that. Experiential knowing, that's Dharma wisdom. You can have that. And nobody can convince you otherwise because you just know. You know because you know in your DNA. And again, as I spoke last night, the confidence that arises out of that experience of that kind of knowing is the unshakable faith and the unshakable trust that we want to develop, the unshakable refuge, and that there's a knowing here that cannot be questioned once you have these experiences. So I want to save plenty of time because this practice is perhaps a little bit longer because we're going to go through the full range of experience. And also because it's longer and it's getting to be later in the day and I really want to try to allow you to arrive into the experience of equanimity, this will be one of the few times I will allow you and even encourage you if you like to lay down during the meditation. So as we move into the posture, I want you to sit or to lay down or to lean against a wall or to hold your body in any way that is going to bring out a sense of ease and relaxation. And if that means sitting upright for you, that's fine. But to just even consider what would be the best way for me to hold my body right now. So just taking a few more moments to adjust yourself in any way. And of course, now that I've said this, the one thing I really want to encourage you to do is to not fall asleep. And so that might mean you might need to leave your eyes open. Or whatever you do, if you feel sleepy, try to not give in and try to maintain some wakefulness. So the first thing I would like you to do as you arrive into a posture that feels supportive and conducive is I want you to just see if you can engage your awareness, opening to awareness by just getting in touch with the energy behind your eyes. And just snapping that on, bringing mindfulness into the awareness, the energy behind the eyes, and allowing that energy to really just move out through the space, hearing out and going out to capture and receive all of the sounds that are arising. Sound does arise. And then taking all of this awareness of the mind and beginning again to really pour it down into the body so that the awareness is filling up your body like you're filling an empty glass full of water. Just bringing awareness into the body, into the body. And then noticing again, right back to basics, the arising of the in-breath. Breathing in, you know you're breathing in. Breathing out, you know that you're breathing out. And bringing into the awareness this first instruction for the equanimity practice is this capacity to feel. So just feeling into the body. Feeling into the breath. And just allowing yourself to feel whatever is there to be felt. Whether the feeling is strong or weak, neutral, pleasant or unpleasant, just allowing yourself to feel. And then just beginning to offer the phrase as you feel in, I feel you. I feel you. I feel you. Breathing in, I feel you. Feeling the arising of the in-breath. Breathing out, I feel you. The passing away of the out-breath. I feel you. I'm just letting that phrase drop down into the body as you feel. I feel you. I feel you. I feel you. The only thing you need to do right now, the doing, is feeling. I feel you. Feeling into the full range of the nervous system, from forehead to fingertips to toes to breath and belly. I feel you. And then adding in the next phrase, moving into the next phrase, I feel you, I know you. I know you. I know you. I remember you. I know your struggles. I know your joys. I know your life. I know you. Breathing that in and breathing that out. I know you. I feel you. Breathing in, I feel you. Breathing out, I know you. I feel you, and I know you. I feel you, and I know you. And waking the mind up, staying awake for this process, engaging the mind. I feel you, I know you, and just letting this pour down into the body and the mind. I feel you and I know you. Breathing in, I feel you. Breathing out, I know you. And engaging this very active, wakeful aspect of mindfulness to feel and to know. And to feel and to know. I know you. This familiar aspect of a knowing, a familiarness with what's arising, with your mind, with your body. I know you. And then expanding the attention down into the heart center now, relaxing the front of the throat, softening the belly, and trying to access this quality of compassion. I care about you. I care about you. Breathing that in, bringing that right into the whole body. I care about you. I care about your pain. I care about your fear. I care about your loss and your disappointment. I care about everything that's been hard for you. I care about you. I care about you. Breathing in, I feel you. Breathing out, I know you. Breathing in, I care about you. I care about you. And allowing your awareness to arrive in the heart center into accessing any amount of compassion, a sense of caring that's available. Doesn't matter how large or small the amount. I care about you. I care about you. And expanding the heart a little wider now. Accessing the heart and beginning to bring into the experience forgiveness. I forgive you. I forgive you. And bringing into the experience forgiveness in any direction, any possible access to, I forgive you. I forgive you. I feel you. I know you. I care about you. And I forgive you. I feel you. I know you. I care about you. And I forgive you. I forgive you. And again, pouring the mind through the body. Rising and passing with the in and out breath. Feeling in, I feel you as you breathe in. I know you as you breathe out. I care about you as you breathe in. I forgive you as you breathe out. And now inclining the heart and mind towards appreciation, I appreciate you. I appreciate you. Thank you. I appreciate you. And allowing each experience to rise and pass, and lining the phrases up as you breathe in and out as best you can, feeling into the full range of what is happening here. Breathing in, I feel you. Breathing out, I know you. Breathing in, I care about you. Breathing out, I forgive you. Breathing in, I appreciate you. Thank you. And allowing these thoughts to, these qualities to roll through the awareness, staying with each one. I feel you. I know you. I care about you. I forgive you. I appreciate you. I feel you. I know you. I care about you. I forgive you. I appreciate you. I feel you. I know you. I care about you. I forgive you. And I appreciate you. And allowing these phrases to just repeat through the mind and the body over and over in the doing aspect. Allowing the body to rest. Noticing which phrases are easier, which phrases are more challenging. And staying with it over and over again, developing this quality of equanimity. And pouring the awareness into the body, creating a sense of wakefulness at the breath, arising and passing. Breathing in, I feel you. In doing the feeling, being the one who feels, I feel you. Feeling into all aspects of the experience, I feel you. Be the one who feels. Allowing yourself to do the feeling. To be the feeling. I know you, doing the knowing. I know you with a curious interest. I know you, do the knowing. Be the knowing. Be the one that knows. I know you. I care about you. I care about you. Do the caring. I care about you. Be the caring. Do the caring. I care about you. I care about you. I forgive you. I forgive you. I forgive you. Do the forgiving. I forgive you. Be the forgiving. I forgive you. And see if you can also be the one who is forgiven. I forgive you. I appreciate you. I appreciate you. I appreciate you. Do the appreciating. Do the thanking. Thank you. I appreciate you. Be the appreciation. Be appreciated. Doing the thanks, the gratitude. I appreciate you. And keep going. Keep with the phrases. Keep feeling, I feel you. Keep knowing, I know you. Keep caring, I care about you. Keep forgiving, I forgive you. Keep appreciating, I appreciate you. And if the mind wanders, if you drift up, saying the phrases as fast as you can in your experience. I feel you. I know you. I care about you. I forgive you. I appreciate you. I feel you. I know you. I care about you. I forgive you. And I appreciate you. Over and over again. And opening to the final phrase that we'll rest with for the few minutes left, I understand that my happiness and my freedom is dependent upon my actions, not my wishes. My happiness and my freedom is dependent upon what I do, not what I want. And this understanding, this deep wisdom, understanding that everything I'm looking for, the freedom and the happiness, is dependent upon my actions, not my wishes.